Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. This month, we're moving into the category of reading. During the summer, a lot of people do what they don't normally do, and that is read. And we have some good resources available for those who support the ministry this month. The Last Disciple series, it's a trilogy, it's historical fiction. What it does, though, is it gives you a handle on the logical truth propositions that are part and parcel of a healthy worldview on eschatology. I think you'll find the books incredibly insightful, stimulating. They're page turners, again, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Should also mention that June is a very significant month in our history each and every year. December is the most critical month, and lagging not far behind is June. This is the end of our fiscal year, not obviously the calendar year, but the fiscal year. And so if you can support the ministry, it would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Getting back to reading, the numbers of people not reading is simply staggering, and I hope that you will become the exception to the rule. A full quarter of the population did not so much as read a single book in the past year. But the good news is that, as with technology, all of us can get hooked on reading all over again. There are so many benefits to reading, it's hard to know where to begin. Reading improves discipline, vocabulary, it improves memory, creativity, and even relaxation. Plus, it can even stave off diseases such as Alzheimer's. More importantly, reading engages you with another mind. And when it comes to reading Scripture, the implications are simply staggering. By its words, we are brought into direct communication with the mind of God. And not only so, we have access to the minds of writers directly inspired by the divine. Thus, in the pages of the inspired text, we have mind-to-mind connection with minds that were awash in uncreated energy. Well, there's much more I could say about reading, and maybe I will, but we have a number of books, as I just mentioned, available. The Last Disciple trilogy, Has God Spoken, Muslim. These books available, as my other books available for those who support the ministry all this month, the critical month of June. It is so important that we achieve a financial stability as a result of the month of June each year. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or as I mentioned, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go to the phone lines. Judy, listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Judy.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. It was told to me to call the Bible Answer Man to get the solution to our discussion here. In Deuteronomy 24, it talks about a couple being married. The husband divorces the wife. He remarries another. And it says, like, if she dies or they divorce, he's not allowed to go back and marry the original spouse because that was an abomination to God. So is that true for today? Is that just, are we under grace that God redeems and forgives, or, because abomination is a huge word, so.
Well, there's a historical context, and you're right in pointing that out. Divorce was widespread in the ancient Near East, and therefore the commands given in Deuteronomy were given in order to regulate an existing practice. And in the context, remarried to her former husband would be tantamount to legal adultery, and therefore it was detestable to the Lord. But if you look at what Jesus Christ says in the Sermon on the Mount, it has said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery, gives you the intent of what the law was. And furthermore, Jesus Christ makes clear that what's going on is a detestable practice for the reason that men would put away women for any or every reason. In other words, they used the Levirate law, they used the laws given within the context of an ancient theocratic kingdom as the basis to do what they wanted to do. So it was tantamount to tithing your mint but neglecting the weightier matters of the law, justice, righteousness, and equity. And that's what really is at the heart of this. We are not to see the other sex as an object for our own enjoyment or use some kind of legalistic prescription to do what we want, but we are to treat another person selflessly as opposed to selfishly. So there's an intent behind the law originally to protect a woman in the Old Testament, but ultimately to subscribe to that which the Bible ultimately appeals to, and that is complete ontological equality and not the abuse of another person.
Okay. So is that just, are we under grace now that that can happen? Or, you know, like if they repented, got right with the Lord, wanted to get the original family intact, are they allowed to do that or not?
Well, if in fact there is a door to reconciliation that is open, yes, we must always walk through the door of reconciliation because that is the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is reconciliation. Reconciliation always requires two parties. There's someone who is willing to forgive and someone wanting to be forgiven. And so that is the ultimate good that we should always strive towards. Now, there are some cases in which that door to reconciliation simply isn't open, and that is because someone has married someone else, and then unscrambling the egg leads to a multiplicity of problems.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. And I didn't know if it was like in the Old Testament that they didn't want wife swapping, you know, back and forth to this. But I thought, well, if the wife was never married again and the other marriage ended, I just didn't know if that would be an abomination to God in this day and age to consider that.
So the question becomes, you get divorced, and the question is it an abomination to get remarried?
To the original one, if that the marriage that he was in doesn't work out.
Well, again, there's a whole lot of conjecture there. I mean, there's a lot of explaining to do. Why did the marriage not work out? You know, ultimately, the intent here is love and reconciliation as opposed to using every reason possible to do something that becomes selfish instead of selfless. I mean, that's the intent. So the intent is the protection of a person. But you can't look at a situation where a man is married to a woman, then the man gets out of that marriage and marries the original person that they were married to. That's the metaphor I was using with respect to unscrambling the egg, which you can't do. So if someone gets a divorce, that's one mistake. They get remarried. Now they're going to compound the error by getting divorced again and marrying the original person? No. You have to move on and be faithful to the commitment that you have at that point.
Okay. Well, I thought, like, you know, it said in the Bible, if that spouse dies, or if there's an...
Well, if that spouse dies, I mean, that's why I said there's a lot of explaining to do. There are a lot of converging factors that are possible. Certainly, if that spouse dies, it would not be an abomination if the Lord led you to get remarried to the original person. You know, in other words, if there's no obstacle in the way morally or ethically in doing that, I don't see anything that would preclude that. But I do think that that has to be done in concert with prayerful consideration before the Lord and good counseling within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church.
Right, right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Coming to the station break, be right back.
In our post-truth age of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with answers has never been greater. The Christian Research Institute exists to provide those answers, and this provision is made possible only by people like you. People unafraid to stand up for truth while it's under assault. People like you whose contributions to our many outreaches are making a difference for time and eternity. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Thank you. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now, once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you, Randy. We'll go right back to our callers. Next up, Jeremy, listening in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm hanging in there. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Thank you. Just got off work a little bit ago, so it's a good day. I've got a question, and I've asked people this in the past, and the answer that I get is that basically it's from more than one's point of view. So I'm hoping you don't give me that kind of answer. But my question is, in the book of Matthew, I guess chapter 8 is the only one that says two men. But for instance, in Luke, whenever Jesus cast out the demon named Legion, how come in all the other books there's only one man at the tombs, but in the book of Matthew, there's two men?
Sure, and that's a good question, and I think you're referring to the two demon-possessed men, right, and their healing in Matthew chapter 8. Yeah, so yeah, Matthew says there are two, while Mark and Luke say one, and critics have for some odd reason suggested this to be a contradiction, but obviously, wherever you have two people, there is always, 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 100% of the time, one person. So if Mark or Luke said there was only one person present, there'd be a contradiction, but the text does not say that. So what you have is Matthew focusing on two demon-possessed men that were healed, and then you have Mark and Luke, for their own reasons, focusing on one. And this is what you have with the synoptics in general. If the synoptics gave all the details of every story in exactly the same way, the first thing we would say, especially if this was presented in a legal sense, we would say there's collusion here. So they all present the story from their own perspective with their own purpose as they're led by the Holy Spirit. There's no reason whatsoever for each gospel to communicate events exactly in the same way. Now, if there was a contradiction, that would be a problem, but this is obviously not a contradiction unless you have, as I just mentioned, Luke and Mark saying that there's only one demoniac and therefore Matthew was mistaken when he was talking about the healing of two demoniacs. Obviously, this is not what's going on.
So, the word two men, it's just Mark and Luke just chose not to talk about the second person.
That's exactly right. And again, that's why you have the synoptic gospels, because reading them in unison, as it were, you have the rest of the story, or you have the complete story. If you would have the story told in exactly the same way by one witness, Matthew, and another witness, Mark, and yet another, Luke, again, in a legal situation, you would immediately suspect collusion. That's the one thing you don't find in the Gospels. You find harmony, but not collusion. Hopefully that helps. Let's go back to the phone lines. Stephen, Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Hank. Appreciate what you do. Hank, the other day I was listening to the radio, and this well-known preacher was talking about our God, and he said that, in part of the context, he said, God is in control. But God is in control. Well, if God is in control, this world is chaotic, and I don't think our God is a God of chaos. I know there have been times in my life as a Christian that he hadn't been in control because I haven't let him. And also in Genesis, does it not say that he created man and woman and gave them dominion? I guess that's kind of a control of the animals and over all the world. Kind of your comment on that. I know ultimately he is in control.
Yeah, I think it's an antinomy. There's a tension here, isn't there? Because on the one hand, we know for certain that God is in sovereign control of every detail of our lives, that not a hair falls from our head that our Heavenly Father does not know or care about it. On the other hand, what we do really matters. So we can't just live in some kind of a magical world and say, you know, my hands are dirty, but if God wants them to be clean, then he'll make them clean magically. Now you go and wash your hands. God works through means. So I think there is a tension here on the one hand, but look, the world is in a mess, not because God created the mess, but God created the potential for a mess. Why did he create the potential for a mess? Well, he gave us freedom of choice. If we did not have that choice, then there would be no genuine love. Our lives would be fatalistically determined in the sense that the atheist believes that everything is determined by brain chemistry and genetics.
Sure. All right, Hank. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. Talk to Michelle. She's listening in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hi.
Hi. First of all, I want to thank you for your ministry. I am a monthly supporter, and I just appreciate all that you do.
Bless you. Thank you.
I was listening to the broadcast when you had Joe Dallas on regarding his article, Is Gay Christian an Acceptable Identity? He used a comparison, which I have long used, to alcoholism as far as, you know, ultimately, regardless of your desires or your tendencies, you choose whether to act on them or not. My question is regarding the labels that you put on yourselves, and because I was thinking about as far as drunkenness and alcoholism, when people go to AA meetings, even if they've recovered from it, they still say, hi, my name is so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic. So they are putting that label on themselves based off of actions that they had. Is that a fair comparison to homosexuals maybe saying, I'm a recovered homosexual, or... Do you understand what I'm
sure,
asking?
Sure, yeah, and Joe actually addresses that in one of the articles. But, you know, context is very, very important, because if you're in an AA meeting, introducing yourself as, hi, I'm Joe, I'm an alcoholic, is perfectly acceptable. But you wouldn't do that in a church situation when you're introducing yourself, because we all recognize intuitively and rightly that every one of us has a besetting sin, and many sins. So we don't enumerate those sins. We just assume that the other people know that we're sinners and that the church is a hospital for sinners who have come to faith in Christ. The other thing I think that's important to recognize is that homosexuality is a behavior, not an identity. And you have to always keep that straight. And I think Joe therefore says in the article, and again, I agree with what Joe says on this subject. I don't know if anybody knows the subject better. He says that homosexual is a word best used as an adjective, as in I experience homosexual temptations, rather than using it as a noun. I am a homosexual. Because the result of the latter usage is labeling, and with labeling comes limitation. The former offers a broader, more biblical self-view.
Okay.
And again, Joe talks about this in length in the article, Is Gay Christian an Acceptable Identity?
Okay. Well, I appreciate your answer. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You got it. My pleasure. Back to the phone lines, Al, Washington, D.C. Hi, Al.
How you doing, Hank? A pleasure to speak to you. I've been having some conversations with some atheists on a social media website, and the answer that they always give me for, you know, there's not a God, is that we don't believe God due to lack of evidence. And I don't really know how to come back on that, because, I mean, it's obviously God, you can't touch him. And I think that's kind of what they're saying, we can't touch them, we've never seen them. So I'm just trying to get some better answers to how I can address that statement.
You know, quite frankly, it's irrational to say that God does not exist because you can't touch or feel him. There are a lot of things you can't touch and feel that you know exists, including gravity and black holes and many other things that we could talk about. But the reality is that there's plenty of evidence for God. If you were stumbling around on a desert island and you happen to bump into a basketball, you would immediately think, ah, someone made that basketball. There is a basketball maker. Maybe inhabits this island. I don't know. But the idea that there would be a basketball mate would be foremost in your mind. And when you look at the universe is absolutely clear. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Or in the words of the Apostle Paul, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Not only that, but there's something else I think important. God has written a knowledge of himself on the canvas of our consciousness, and therefore we are without excuse. And the more light we respond to, the more light we get. The problem is, atheists want to remain in darkness oftentimes, saying that nothing creates everything, life comes from non-life, and the life that comes from non-life creates metaphysical realities. That's what is really hard and takes a tremendous amount of faith to adhere to, not the Christian point of view. We're out of here for today. Stand with us, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. Atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.